That's like twang, because that changes everything. That changes me, it changes you, it changed all the people that are watching, it changed history.
You mentioned Nephilim architecture. And so I've been to places around the world that there is unexplainable things that have been built. I think of Machu Picchu and Cusco, and there's stones there that there's no way that any person could have. We still, with our modern technology, don't know how these things were built. And you're saying that there was Nephilim architecture, Nephilim technology that was ancient. Let's talk about some of these things that are popping up around the world that really don't have a good archaeological explanation, but you have an explanation pointing to the Nephilim.
Well, I do. You mentioned Sacsayhuaman, Ollantaytambo, Machu Picchu. I've been to all those sites like you. This is Nephilim architecture, fallen angel technology. It may be pre-flood. I lean towards pre-flood. And the builders, whoever did this, they took the tools with them. They're not around. There's nothing in the archaeological dig or anything else where, oh, this is the machine that made all these stones the way they are. No one knows how it was done. Nobody knows how it was done, but it's there for a period. And it's also over in Egypt. It's also over in Egypt. The ossuarium, is that what it's called? I think that's what it's called. That has the same type of stone masonry that we see in Peru. It all just disappears. And so if it's pre-flood, it makes perfect sense, because the angels who were able to do that are all locked up in prison. And that's where Jesus goes. When he dies, how do you kill God? That's a three-hour conversation. How do you kill God? If I can digress just for a second.
Go for it.
He is the head of the body of the church. He is the firstborn of the dead, so that he is preeminent in all things, right? For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. The reason why the enemy, the dragon, no one saw this coming. Mary didn't see it. It was the best kept secret on the planet. Mary didn't know. Mary Magdalene didn't know. The apostles didn't know. Even though Jesus was telling them what was going to happen, nobody got it. The enemy, the dragon, Satan's going, well, you can't kill God, so he's going to come down. Mary and John are at the foot of the cross going like, they're not wearing watches, I'm being silly, but they're going like, he's not doing good here. He's got to come down soon. He doesn't come down. God dies. How do you kill God? How do you kill God? You can't kill God, but God dies. And that's how he triumphed on the cross, because he allowed himself to experience death. He is the firstborn of the dead, first Colossians, firstborn of the dead, so he is preeminent in all things. And the body lays in the tomb. We know that because there's the Shroud of Turin right there. I love people. Oh, it's just a Catholic. Oh, that's a forgery. And then you get these people will send me all the scriptures. And I just go, I already know that, guys. Why don't you spend an hour on shroud.com? Just go there, www.shroud.com. And if you don't go there, then you're ignorant and you're arrogant, because all the answers you seek for this is on shroud.com. And it's mind-boggling. So the body is in the tomb. The spirit and the soul go down to where Tartarus, where the imprisoned angels from the flood and after that are in prison, which begs a question. How are they kept there? Are there guards? Is there secret technology that the angels can't get out of? We're not told. This is also in the book, the next book I'm writing after I finish the book that I'm finished now, Supernatural Technology in the Bible. And that's just one of the things that I pose to the reader. How are they kept there? What are the dungeons made out of? I mean, angels can do all this stuff, right? But somehow they're kept, and that's where Jesus goes. And it's a proclamation. You're not getting out. Checkmate. I just won. And that's why the blood of Jesus, when we say that, the cosmic importance of saying the blood of Jesus, that's like twang, because that changes everything. That changes me. It changes you. It changed all the people that are watching. It changed history. It changed the protocols of the heavenly war. It defeated the dragon, and that's why we can become born again and spirit-filled, because of what happened at Calvary. So the fallen angels with Sacsayhuaman and Machu Picchu and all these other places, this is Nephilim architecture, fallen angel technology. And the technology to do it, you know, there was a challenge I gave years ago, the L.A. Marzulli Sacsayhuaman Challenge. Let's bring some stones from the quarry, which is about 40 miles away. We'll bring them onto that huge plane at Sacsayhuaman. We'll bring the best stone cutters on the planet. We'll give them the same copper chisels and the wooden mallets that the Inca used. Go at it, boys. Show us how it was done. You can do it. Mm-hmm. Just build a wall 20 feet, okay? Just show. Of course, they can't do it because the copper chisel. We show this actually in On the Trail of the Nephilim.
Yeah.
Number seven, out of place artifacts. We've got a block of andesite, We've got a copper chisel. Tink, 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 tink. We show the copper chisel completely dull in the end, just like this, completely dull. Andesite stone, not a mark on it. So if you can't cut the andesite with a copper chisel, stop telling us that the Inca did this, because they didn't. Mm. Stop lying to us. It's just like other places on the planet where there's megalithic structures. You've got the Hopo in these. No one knows what they call themselves, but the archaeologists are going to tell us all about this. Oh, they did this. They built Cahokia and all these other places with digging sticks and deer antlers and clamshell hose and all this other nonsense. No, they didn't. You know, sorry, guys. Well, we found the remnants of an entire basket of dirt in one of the mounds. That could be a secondary usage. You don't know that. You don't know where it came from. So you just you take that one little archaeological fact and you build this whole thing on it. Meanwhile, it makes no sense. And to punctuate that, if you were to deconstruct the walls of Fort Ancient, which are 3.5 miles of continuous earthen walls, we show this in Mysterious Mound Builders and On the Trail of the Nephilim series. You were to deconstruct 3.5 miles of continuous earthen walls, you would have end-to-end dump trucks filled with dirt lined up for 200 miles. How does that work? 200 miles. And that's not the largest mound complex. Cahokia is. So you probably have another 225, 250 end-to-end dump trucks. No,
that's a lot. That's a lot of earth to move for sure.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's, and the reason why it has to be the Hopewell and Native Americans have to do this because they can't go there. They can't go to the Nephilim. They can't go to Fallen Angel, you know, technology, Nephilim architecture. I remember reading Fritz Zimmerman's book for the first time, just a mind boggler, a mind blower, you know, Fallen Angels in the Ohio Valley, the Nephilim Chronicles. That book changed my life. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Wow.
Because of Dr. I.D.E. Thomas's book and then Fritz Zimmerman's book later on. And yeah. I just, you know, we're on the trail. That's where the whole thing came from. Thank you, Fritz. On the Trail of a Nephilim. That's where it came from.
But you mentioned our out-of-place artifacts, and I want to talk about that. Connected to the Mormons' belief about the Nephites coming from the Middle East to the United States or to the Americas. But before we get into that, you said something about Jesus's blood being spilled. And I know that you've said in another videos that I've seen that innocent blood being spilled opens up a portal. Okay. So if you have, you know, fallen angels trying to use those portals, tell me about the portal that would have opened with Jesus's blood and what would that be like?
Well, something did happen. That is death.
Yeah.
The veil in the temple was rent in half. There's a great earthquake. There's darkness over the land. I mean, then the dead rise. People see the righteous ones rising up, a type of a pre-tribulation rapture in some way, walking in the streets of Jerusalem. I mean, it's profound, absolutely profound what happened. The blood of Jesus, when that is spilled on the ground, I think that earthquake happens in the darkest on the land of the temple. This is it. In other words, that dispensation that had been in place, the law was abolished at that moment. That's why the temple veil is rent from top to bottom.
Yeah. Boom.
From top to bottom, the temple veil is rent. And that dispensation is now over. Now we're under the dispensation of grace. The dispensation of the law, it's done with, it's over. We don't keep the law. We can't keep the law. The law is a schoolmaster to take us into grace. And so when that blood is spilled, that's when all this happens. that dispensation, that earthquake is significant because it's a cosmic earthquake. It's an earthquake that reverberates through all of time and all of history. And it goes right in the Hell's Kitchen and basically says, game over. I won. I've got the title deed and I'm coming back and I'm going to kick your butt when I do. And of course, you know, that hasn't happened yet. That's future. But I believe we might be close.